All right, thank you very much. I'm going to give you a brief introduction to the licensing program in North Carolina right now, because we're about to be undergoing some major changes that you and other states may experience as well. Our program began in 1995 with the passage of the North Carolina Licensing Act by our General Assembly. We currently have 173 members. Please remember that number. There'll be a quiz at the end, but you're going to need it at the end of the talk. We're overseen by a board consisting of 7 members. I happen to be current Secretary Treasurer. The other are appointed by the Governor, Speaker of the House, and so on. I think that's fairly standard. We are financially stable and self-funded. Currently, we have about $80,000 in the bank. It's doing pretty well. Now, problems on the horizon. Well, in 2014, our General Assembly, basically our legislature, proposed modifications to the licensing program. That doesn't include, it includes soils, but all licensing programs are on the table, medicine, law, dentistry, and so on. Some of these programs will be eliminated in time, it appears right now. But I want to give you background on this issue and tell you where I think we're going with it. Again, we have about 10 states in the United States that have soil science licensing programs. I hope I've got all of them shown here. This problem that we're dealing with in North Carolina, over here on the east, is in response to a Supreme Court decision that came down the pipe last year. And as a result, I think other states will be making adjustments to the licensing program. Or if not right now, I think it's possible in the future. So in this talk, I'll try to do 3 things. First, review the reasons that we are modifying licensing in the state, talk about the initiatives proposed to change licensing by our legislature, and then talk about some actions that we can take to defend licensing and put it in a better light with our legislators. Okay, you have heard several terms here, licensing, certification, and registration, which all pertain to professional programs. Let me go over some definitions with you now just to kind of highlight the differences. First, we have licensing. This is what we've got in North Carolina for soil scientists. It's used for professions that deal with high risks to the public welfare, medicine, dentistry, nursing, where our people can die if the professional screws up. The license does 2 things. It basically protects the job by defining a scope of practice. It saves certain jobs for soil scientists in the state. The second thing it does is it protects a job title. So we are allowed to call ourselves licensed soil scientists. So it's the best type of certification, registration, or whatever, because it is the strongest. Next in line is certification. It's used for professions that pose a moderate risk or that deal with moderate risk to the public welfare, things like maybe forestry. It grants an individual the authority to use a title, an occupational title, soil scientist, but it doesn't protect any jobs for that person. So anybody can come in and do soil science work, all right, if you have a certification program, but only the soil scientist can say, I am the soil scientist. Way down on the totem pole of effectiveness, in my opinion, is registration. This is for professions that have that deal with low risks to the public welfare. I'm not sure of my example exactly, but I'm thinking of hair braiders. You're not going to die if you get a bad hair braiding job. And so all this does is it requires individuals to list their contact information with a state agency. And basically it protects nothing, no title, no job. So licensing, for those of us that have it, is pretty important. Now, why is there a problem in North Carolina? Believe it or not, our story begins with teeth whitening. If you want a brighter smile, you can go to your mall, sit down in Smile Lounge, or a chair in the Smile Lounge kiosk, get this gizmo stuck in your face for, I don't know, 30 minutes or so, and walk out with white teeth. Now, believe it or not, this is a multi-billion dollar industry. They can afford expensive lawyers. Plus, it's not done by dentists, but by cosmetologists, okay? Is there a problem? Well, the North Carolina Dental Board said there was a problem and tried to stop this. Why? Because the teeth whiteners in the mall were charging less than the dentists were in their office. Now, so the North Carolina Dental Board said, listen, guys, teeth whitening is the practice of dentistry. The problem they had was that the Dental Act in North Carolina did not include teeth whitening as in the practice of dentistry. Big deal here. Well, in 2010, the Federal Trade Commission got involved and determined that the dental board acted illegally to exclude non-dentists from the business of whitening teeth. All right? Again, it's a billion-dollar industry. They could hire some good lawyers that got the ear of the FTC. The dental board didn't give up, so they sued the FTC. The case went to the Supreme Court, and in 2015, the Supreme Court agreed with the FTC that these guys in mall kiosks can whiten your teeth. All right? Now, what's the problem? There are three problems, but the main one is that the Licensing Act set up, and the way it was run in North Carolina, actually set up a monopoly or a trust. So if this is our highway of competition and these are the mall teeth whiteners, the dental board was the monopoly and blocked competition, saving the jobs for themselves. If you're wondering what the FTC does, it breaks up monopolies. But the monopoly forms when a majority of your licensing board, the guys that make the decisions on when to issue cease and desist orders, when the majority of these members are engaged in the active practice of the profession it regulates, you've got a monopoly. So dentists made up the board, they were regulating who could do the work, and the Supreme Court says that's illegal. Now, technically, the Supreme Court found three problems with the dental board, its approach. First, teeth whitening was not in the dentist's scope of practice, so they had no right to regulate it to begin with. The second thing, the dental board was acting as a monopoly and blocking competition. As Americans, we have to oppose this whenever we find it. Except if the legislature is actively supervising a given board. If the legislature actively supervises a board, then the act of the board becomes the act of a legislature, which isn't made up of dentists. So active supervision by your legislature of your licensing board prevents monopolies. Now don't sit back and think rationally why that should be. It's that way because that's the law, the way the law is written, okay? But the point is, if our legislature was actively supervising the dental board, it wouldn't have been considered a monopoly. Still, the whitening probably could have gone on because it's not in their scope of practice. At any rate, our legislature got wind of the Supreme Court ruling, of course, and decided to do a couple of things. First, increase direct supervision of the licensing boards, soils, medical board, dental board, and so on. And this might take the form of requiring annual audits, more frequent reports, and stuff like that. Okay, it basically has to be done because it protects the board from itself being sued down the line. The second thing, though, that the legislature tried to do, actually is in the process of doing, is decreasing the number of licensing boards in the state to make them more manageable. Okay, so if they want to take charge of the boards, they want the smallest number they can get. This is a controversial issue because I think some of the legislatures are now having would like to see the elimination of some boards that have been thorns in their side, soil science being one. Now, let's talk about the initiatives that have been proposed to change licensing. In our state, we have an auditing group. I'll call it an auditing group called the Program Evaluation Division, PED for short, appropriately enough. Its mission, well, it's a nonpartisan group of the North Carolina General Assembly, and its mission is basically to evaluate whether public services are delivered in an effective and efficient manner. And that's why I call it an auditing group. Well, the North Carolina Assembly asked PED to study occupational licensing boards. They did so, completed their report in last year or 2 years ago, and said this. They recommended that the legislature study eliminating 12 boards as well as consolidating 10 others. Okay? In short, that's what the report said. Soil science, believe it or not, was not one of the 12 or the 10 to be eliminated or consolidated. We were approved by this PED panel. Now, the way the PED went through and evaluated the licensing boards, all of them, was pretty transparent. They laid it all out in this report. And let me go over what four factors they used to assess a board's performance. They also scored these factors on a scale of 0 to 10. The first was public harm. Is the board protecting the public from death, disability, or contaminated drinking water? Well, we certainly do in soil science, and as you can see here on the far right, we got a 10 out of a 10. We scored 10 points out of a possible 10, so it's looking pretty good. Complaints. A large number of complaints to the board is good, believe it or not. Well, because it shows that that board is probably doing, needs to be there to protect the public welfare, or at least that's how this group looked at it. We don't get a lot of complaints to our licensing board. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I'm the secretary treasurer. I can tell you we don't get a lot of complaints. We thought we're doing a good job. I don't know. We're doing a bad job. So we scored 0 out of 10 there. Disciplinary actions. A larger percentage of disciplinary actions is good, according to the PED. Well, somehow we scored 10 out of 10. Why is that surprising? Well, we're not getting many complaints, but we're taking a lot of disciplinary action. I don't know why, but I'm not complaining. We got 10 out of 10. Now, do other states have licensing programs? I showed you that slide at the beginning. The answer is no. We have only 10 states. We got 0 for this one out of 10 points. Well, when you add them all up, we scored 20 out of a possible 40 points. Now, the professions identified for elimination by the PED scored 10 or less. Forestry, landscape architecture, opticians of all things, electrolysis professionals, and so on down the line. So we made this cut. Now, let's look at the timelines for legislative action so far. I make this look like it's a nice logical order here. It is misleading. I've simplified this grossly because there's a lot of convoluted actions that I'm not even going to mention. But the PED report on the left came out in 2014. It went to a legislative committee of senators and representatives who accepted some of their recommendations, added some of their own, and are now in the process of preparing bills that will go through the House and the Senate. Those bills are still in the preparation and amendment stage. I just want to highlight one such bill. This is 1007. It came out in June of this year. Let me just give you the gist. This bill would do several things. First, it would sunset all occupational licensing boards that have fewer than 1,500 members. I told you before, we have 173. We ain't even close to making this cut. Incidentally, the geologists have less than 1,500 members as well. But if we combine with the geology board, we would just get over that 1,500 limit. The 1,500, again, was added by the legislature themselves, not from the PED panel, as I understand it. The sunset would be effective on October 1 of 2019, so we'd have a few years. A dissolution and transfer plan, apparently what we're going to do with that $80,000 we got in the bank, has to be sent to the legislature next year. So again, our bill is still being amended. We are not eliminated yet or consolidated, but the scuttlebutt is we will probably be merged with another program, probably geology. So in essence, we may be able to keep our licensing program, but just with in combination with another board. All right, let's talk about actions we can take to defend licensing. First of all, we have to be monitoring governmental activities, reading reports, and if possible, work with a lobbyist who can monitor and report on legislative developments. Fortunately for us, our lobbyist is not somebody we pay for. It's the guy that works with the North Carolina Septic Tank Association. He's attending the same meetings as he's attending the meetings at the legislature that deal with soils and reports back actually to my co-author, it seems, regularly. Identify key legislators. Who are the leaders and who are calling the shots? Write letters to them, and although it may be distasteful, contribute to their campaigns. If you don't know who's going to win, contribute to both, all right? But just campaign contributions, we're told by the Farm Bureau, is helpful, or are helpful. Get your state society members involved. Some can lobby, some cannot, so be careful there. But get as many people as you can rattling the legislative cage. Educate legislators about what soil scientists do. Let me tell you, they don't know. The original suggestions for modifying licensing that came through seemed to put us in a category with the grass cutters and landscape contractors. Clearly, these guys have no idea of what we do. So prepare brochures and websites that you can point to show how soil science protects public health and welfare. Again, that's why I listed those four things that the PED looked at. Public harm, if you defend the public against harm, it's considered very important and you're more likely to save your licensing program. The Farm Bureau also tells us to build relationships with legislators. Try to attend campaign events where you can meet these people one-on-one. Also consider inviting them to your meetings. Get them there. Come up with an award you can give to one of these guys. Okay, well, I'm just asking you to help. You don't have to believe what you're doing, but it could be effective. Licensing boards must get active. They have to have a website that shows the public how to make complaints against people. That's, again, considered important. Disciplinary action has to be taken where necessary, and that should be posted in some form on your website. Also, make sure you send representatives to your legislative meetings. They have to be aware of what is going on so that we might be able to take some action. Well, that's all I want to report on now. I don't know if there's time for questions, but if there are, I'd be happy to answer. Again, as wrap up, we're still in the process of seeing what will happen with our licensing program, but we are under a threat right now. Okay, so what are the requirements for licensure in North Carolina? You have to have 15 credits of soils, be a graduate of a four-year program, and pass two exams issued by the society here. The first exam will be on general principles. Once you pass that, then you need about 3 years of professional experience working under a licensed soil scientist or someone who is equivalent, has the knowledge of a licensed soil scientist. After that, you take the second exam on professional practice, and once you pass that, you'll be a licensed soil scientist.
So it essentially mirrors CPSA,
CPSA? Probably very close, yeah.
Okay, so, because in other states like Texas and Tennessee, I've been licensed in both of those states. I just essentially had to fill out the application paperwork and say, Luther, it's in the stores, it's in the stores, and food stores.
Okay. Well, I guess it's essentially the same. We're using those exams. And, you know, most of you are going to have a BS degree. Most of you are going to have 15 credits of soils. And so that part's taken care of as well. So I think they're all pretty similar. The Texas...
Does the work experience have to be under a North Carolina license?
No, because we do have comity. It's not comity, but we do...
Reciprocity.
It's reciprocity in the sense that we can grant it a license to somebody from Texas. We just did, for example, and that person, she worked under, you know, people in Texas, not in North Carolina. We just want you to make sure that you have somebody working under somebody with the proper experience.
Do you have it with Tennessee?
I'm not sure of how we're using the term here. If somebody from Tennessee wants to be licensed in North Carolina, they have to apply to us, submit the scores, submit evidence that you've worked on, have the work experience, and so on. Same process, probably, and then we would grant them.
The right term.
Huh?
Comity is the right term.
Okay. But again, we have to evaluate that person. Okay, they have to apply to us, and we will evaluate them. Yeah. Yes. If he doesn't have to, the tests have to be taken. Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we will require the exams. The only time we would not is if you took a different exam from a state and it was equivalent to the stuff coming out of Madison. We don't like that situation at all, but we will have to look at that exam. All right. But in most cases, right now, the grandfathering in, which is basically what you're talking about, is over. Okay? Anything else? Texas is for sure. The rest of them, I do not know. So one for sure. I think we're out of time. I want to thank you again for your attention.